Welcome to the Sonic Temple Podcast. I'm Francis.
And I'm Jeff.
Today we have Jimmy Muscolo, and he has chosen Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden.
Which led me to select Steve Earle's Ellis Unit 1.
I picked Holy For Tonight by Ozzy Osbourne. This is being recorded on February 19th, 2024. Today joining us inside the Sonic Temple is Jimmy Muscolo. I've gotten to know Jimmy in the past year since he moved down to our South Florida area, and he runs Famous Faces and Funnies 2, which is a local comic book and toy store in Boynton Beach, Florida. Jimmy can get you your latest fix for comics and toys and other pop culture knickknacks, and apart from having good taste with comics and movies, Jimmy also has some good taste with the old music songs. So I reached out with the invite, and here we are. Jimmy, welcome to the Sonic Temple.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Nice to meet you, Jimmy.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for the introduction. It's humbling to hear that I sell knickknacks. I love them. I love them so much. I know you do. There are knickknacks all around us right now.
We're happy to have you here, man. And thank you for picking the song that you picked.
So, hell yeah.
I know Francis and I are extremely excited to have this conversation, but why don't you tell everybody which song you chose and why you chose it?
The song I chose is Iron Maiden's Hallowed Be Thy Name. Thank you. Thank you.
Go.
I'll take all the credit for Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Francis approached me about doing the podcast, and I thought about it way too long and way too hard, and then he said, don't think about it. And then I stopped thinking about it, and then I said, all right,
yeah,
it's going to be made.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Why?
Why? This is a song that it always brings me to a happy place. And I know that is crazy.
I get it.
Exactly.
All right.
This song is the first Iron Maiden song I ever heard, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Never heard a Maiden song. Wow. I knew of Iron Maiden through the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if it was Beavis and Butthead or somebody referenced them.
Random t-shirts.
Had to be, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put you in a time, in a place.
Yeah, please. Paint the picture.
All right. 1996. I was in shop class in junior high school, and our shop teacher was going to get his master's degree, so he wasn't there anymore. But we watched movies, and a kid brought in Toy Machine, the skateboarding company, Welcome to Hell. And the very final skateboarding part in the movie was set to Iron Maiden's Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Oh, very nice.
And since I was 12 years old, that song makes me think about skateboarding.
Huh.
It makes me think about being 12.
Right.
About how rad shop class was, I guess.
Sure. I don't know.
We also watched Airborne, which was pretty rad too.
Yeah.
T-minus 3, 2, 1.
Fasten your seatbelt and get ready for the ride of your life.
Almost done, ladies.
If there's anything you need, just let me know.
Be careful, that's Jack's girlfriend.
Surfer.
Sure are popular.
A little too popular.
Leave gravity behind and get Airborne. Rated PG. Start Friday, September 17th.
Seth Green.
Jack Black.
Good job. Good job. if you're listening, kudos. But yeah, and then I became a fan. I became a Maiden fan. And not just Maiden. Every band that was on that was great. I'm not going to, you know, knock them. But Maiden, for me, it started there.
Yeah.
It grew. And then I finally saw them. Oh, man. It must have been, I don't know, 10 years ago for the first time, I think, somewhere around there. My brother took me to the concert. He's the biggest Maiden fan I've ever met. He's seen them 100 times probably. Who knows? In multiple countries.
Older brother, younger?
Younger.
Okay.
7 years younger.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, right?
Nice.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And he has seen them a billion. He saw them in England. He's seen them all over. He took me to see them, and it was so much fun. And they played that song, and it brought all those memories back.
Right.
And it's not like I haven't heard that song since that. I listen to that song all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it takes you to a time and a place. And I know that it's a heavy song.
Yeah.
And I know that it's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when I sit down and I listen to the song, also when I hear, "After All, I'm Not Afraid of Dying." Mm. Like, I hear that, and mm-hmm. it just, like, it's like a rallying call. Like, it's like when you're watching Braveheart.
Well, especially when Bruce Dickinson screams
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's very Braveheart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we can edit the Braveheart talk out. We don't need to promote.
We're not we're not promoting anything of that sort, but the point is well received. Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just that feeling, you know, that gut feeling of like, you know, it doesn't matter. You do whatever you want. And, you know, I'm here in the moment, present. And it's, I don't know, it's just like, I always get excited when I hear the song.
Yeah.
As well as every Iron Maiden song, probably, you know.
All right. So I have a question about that, because the way that you came to it, you're coming to it in 1996, which means, and coming to it through a skate video. So it's completely disembodied from its place on the album, right?
Oh, and, absolutely.
And so I'm curious about your relationship. Like, is Number of the Beast your favorite Maiden record? Or, like, do you even have a favorite Maiden record?
Actually, my favorite record is probably the first record. And
really?
I think Prowler is my favorite Maiden song ever.
Cool.
But this song, it always takes me to that headspace.
Yeah.
It always brings me to that level of stoke, you know, like I had no, like, skateboarding became my life, my absolute life for at least 2 decades after that. And the only thing that I knew about skateboarding before that was the Ninja Turtles and Skate TV. Rest in peace, Skate Master Tate.
Right.
And
Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Thrashing.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And then I saw this movie and I was like, oh my God, this is why. And every song on there was great. They were all bangers. You know, you had Ozzy, you had a lot of cool songs. But this song, I guess it was because it was the end.
Yeah.
And it was, God, I don't know how long the song is. It must be 10 minutes. It's probably 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's about seven.
Six, seven minutes.
Something like
that. Yeah, clock's in about 7 or so.
Which is pretty average for Maiden.
Is this how we get to Ozzy?
What's that?
Through the skate video?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so, but if that was...
I was
about to be really impressed there. Okay, we'll get to that later.
Oh, I'm excited. I had no idea. When I heard the other songs, I was like, I don't see the correlation. Then I listened and I was like, oh, duh. It's right there.
It's right there. This one's kind of obvious. Yeah. We'll get to that. So in order to get to all that, though, let's dive into this song a little bit and talk about the actual song.
When was the first time you guys heard the song?
Francis?
Ooh. I first heard it maybe in the mid-90s when they released a real live one and then a real dead one.
Yeah.
I probably first heard it on a real dead one, because I got into Maiden, I think it was like on Fear of the Dark.
Yep.
Is when I jumped in.
That's our age.
Yes. Yeah. And then from that point on, like, for a good year, it was like all Iron Maiden posters in my bedroom.
Hell
just
yeah.
So much Iron Maiden stuff. But yeah, it was like, then they released a real live one, which was my first CD I ever bought.
Mm.
So I got in the CD game late. And then real dead one, which is where I heard that. And then through those, I went back.
Yeah.
And then started getting like the other albums and stuff, like Killers and Number of the Beast.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And same thing. Although I think I got into them slightly before
seventh or
yeah, slightly before Fear of the Dark, but just through like a friend's older brother who was into Maiden. So Peace of Mind was the first Maiden record I ever listened to. And then Number of the Beast, I think. But I had a VHS, some like video compilation of all Maiden videos. And so it's a video of them playing it live, yeah. You know, in 1983 or four. Clive Burr is still on the drums, okay. Like in the video. So
nice.
It's awesome. I mean, that song sticks out in their catalog. Above, like when you pick this song, it made me think of like the Maiden epics, right? Because this one, this is an epic. This qualifies. Yeah. I mean, right. It's the epic, I think. But you think of like the Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner or
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think Hallowed Be Thy Name is the best one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. The
epics. This song is Iron Maiden, like, encapsulated. This is
the song, one of the ones that you show like, oh, what's Iron Maiden here, yeah. Listen to this one.
This is 100 proof Iron Maiden, like straight through. Yeah,
like you get Bruce's vocals just right at the beginning, just
the sands of time for me are running
I think I read this is one of the first songs that he ever recorded with the band.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's on the first record,
it's on the first record
he ever
yeah.
did, but I think it was, you know, one of the first couple songs that they recorded. And I mean, you just think about that for a second when you're listening to him. That is.
When the priest comes to read me the last lines, take a look to the bars of the last sights of a world that has gone very wrong for me. Can it be that there's some sort of error?
Legends, man, they're born and
the air raid siren. Yeah,
there's no arguing with Bruce Dickinson. He came out ready to take on the world.
Now, Maiden has been, I don't know, just like in my back pocket. I feel like every Maiden fan, you're either like a super fan or you're just like, yeah, Maiden.
Yeah.
You know, you just get it. You know, some people don't get it. They, you know, not everyone has an ear for everything. I don't know. It stuck with me. And goddamn, I love this song so much. I was listening it all the way over and I was like, oh, this is so good.
I mean, just the guitar intro.
Oh, sure. With the bell.
A great way to just start. It's like ominous and just.
They set the tone lyrically, yeah. That first stanza. I mean, you know, you know exactly where you are in the story.
I'm waiting in my cold cell when the bell begins to chime.
And when that riff hits right after that.
And then when it kicks.
When it goes, it's just Iron Maiden full gallop, if you will. Just let's go.
And then you're on for the ride, man. And it really doesn't let up ever.
No.
And they just, we often do this in the podcast. Like we try to like track the song and map it out. And this one is a pain in the butt to map out because there's so many different sections to it and so many different instrumental sections.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it here, but I'm really not even going to bore everybody with it because
well, just know that there's not really a chorus. There's no chorus.
Oh no. Well, that is the beauty of it.
Yeah.
There is no chorus. And that sort of speaks to like the epic nature.
It's just
right?
A tale. It's like a film, like cinematic, like just start at the beginning and go to the end.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is. So if you even think about like epic poetry, right. And like the themes of epic poetry, like it is about that. It's often about a journey and themes of good versus evil. And there's often a cultural or societal, you know, point that's being driven home, you know, and they're long. Epic poems are always long. Like this sort of fits all of those beautifully. So they really nail it here. And Iron Maiden went on to perfect the epics. I mean, they're still banging them out, you know, on the new albums.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that newest album is nothing but like super long songs.
Yeah, they kind of like hit on something here on this third record.
How many times have you guys seen them live?
Okay, I'm going to answer first just to get the embarrassment out of the way. I've seen them one time. And that one time was in like 1996, maybe?
At the Edge?
At the Edge, okay. Which is a tiny ass club that was half full. And the reason that was is because
Bruce Dickinson
was not in the band. I saw him on X Factor. Yeah, Francis and I were there. We saw him together.
It was like Fear Factory opening and then Maiden.
With Blaze Bailey.
Yeah.
Which, so that's the only time I've ever seen him. But I'm a drummer, so to see Nico McBrain in a small ass club playing Iron Maiden songs.
That's how I saw it. I got to see Steve Harris and you know, Dave Murray, like all these guys playing really close in a small club. It just felt like a really good Iron Maiden cover band.
Yeah. But I will add one qualifier to that. I have seen Nico McBrain play one time. But that is the exact same number of times that Nico McBrain has seen me play drums.
Right.
So I feel like it's a win because he was at one of my shows one time and that was super weird.
Hell yeah.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was a strange one.
I don't think we're going to top that.
I'm going to try later when we get to Steve Earle, but yeah, we'll see. But Francis, how many times have you seen him?
I'm up only, let's see, that one time at the Edge and then twice on the Book of Souls tour and then once on the tour after that, which was a Legacy of the Beast. So four.
Nice.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
And nice. You?
Only twice.
Yeah.
Two times. Both then, with my brother.
It's great though.
Both in Fort Lauderdale, which they always play because he lives there.
That's right.
He lives there.
Right.
So it was great. It was great.
Yeah. It's so, I think I saw them once at the Fort Lauderdale, and the other ones I missed them because it was the same time and I was out of town. So I flew to Nashville to see them once.
Nice.
And that was actually, funny enough, when they had the lawsuit going and they couldn't play Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Oh, is that right?
For a small time. So I got to hear Rothschild instead, which I'm a big fan of Rothschild.
Oh, that's so
I was like, I'll take it for this time around. Yeah, all right.
Nice.
So I feel like now we need to talk about the lawsuit.
Yeah. So they had a small lawsuit going on for a bit.
It's an interesting thing, though, because you can Google it, but essentially they just completely ripped off a couple of verses from a band called Beckett.
Yep.
And Steve Harris admitted freely that he did so. And it's just weird move.
And the band Beckett was managed by their manager.
Yeah. It's a weird move to do that.
Yeah.
To just lift another band's lyrics and know you're doing
it. It's basically like,
strange.
I think it's like the fourth verse
of
Hallowed Be Thy Name is what they.
Yeah. The song is good.
It's fine.
What is it? Life Shadow?
Life Shadow.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool, it's also an epic.
Yeah.
Like it's like 7 minutes and it's got super cool strings and it's weird.
Yeah, here's a little bit of it right here. Mark my words, my soul is
please don't worry, cause I've got. But yeah, they settled that and songwriters got paid and all is well in the world.
Yeah, they settled with like one guy and then the other guy didn't know about the settlement. And so he came back after him and I think they all settled.
Everybody's fine.
Everyone's fine. Everyone got paid. Jeff, real quick.
Yeah.
The studio version versus their live version.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. The live versions that I've listened to, they're all faster.
Yeah.
And so that is super fun because the song sounds great fast. But man, what a feat it is by Bruce Dickinson to hang on and spit those words because they come fast. Man.
Right.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love the live versions because the energy is just kicked up
totally
that much more. super fun listen, studio and live.
And you gotta love just the classic Maiden guitar riffs.
Oh.
So yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. On one hand, so great. And on the other hand, so responsible for a lot of really bad bands that came up in like the 2000s. Like you can just hear it, right? Like in those like super great high string riffs that right. they're pulling off in this song, especially.
That is signature like, Iron Maiden.
Yeah, that is signature Iron Maiden. Like you just, if you listen to it now, you're like, oh, Papa Roach sounds a lot like this, you know?
Does but, it? Yeah, I never listened to him, so I don't
good,
know.
Not in a good way.
Okay. But,
yeah, I think there's a lot of bands that really took what was great and drove it into the ground in very unfortunate ways.
They ate it and crapped it out.
Yeah. But no, man, I mean, the riffs in this song are undeniable. There's a Machine Head cover. Have you heard that?
I did hear that. God, I have
that's,
not. That's pretty good. That was
it's
pretty good.
Fantastic.
They did around like the Blackening, like that era.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Cool. They're very true to the song until they get to like the third verse, and then they Machine Head it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Rob like lets go and growls, and then it gets Machine Heady, but in a good way.
Yes,
nice. That's a fun listen. Can't be this with some sort of error. Hard to stop for some mountain terror. Is it really the end? Not some crazy dream. But I was wondering, Francis, because I don't know, Jimmy, I don't know what you, did you go to college?
I did not.
Okay. Were you in high school?
I was in high school, yes.
Fantastic. Did you take an English class in high school?
Of course I did.
All right. Francis and I were both English majors.
Multiple times.
So we read a whole lot of short stories. And when I was digging through the lyrics on How Would Be Thy Name, like sort of refreshing up, I kept thinking of, do you remember this Ambrose Bierce?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
An occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kept thinking of the whole time. I'm like, I wonder if they borrowed from this or not. Because An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge is this incredible short story about like a Civil War soldier who basically blows up a bridge or is convicted of doing so, and they're going to hang him from a bridge. And so it's that whole idea of like waiting for the gallows and, you know, and then he gets to the gallows and then something goes wrong. There's like a snap and he's off and he's escaped and he's running through the woods. And it's this incredible like adventure story of until it comes back, it sucks back. And like the ending, there's like a twist ending and you realize that the snap that you heard that you thought he escaped was really like
the last
like the last breath, like the floor dropping out from under him and his neck snapping, and the whole escape thing was like his light flashing before his
Jacob's
eyes.
Jacob's ladder scenario.
It's an unbelievable story that just really messes you up,
especially when you're reading like 18, 19.
Young impressionable mind, it can break it in certain wonderful ways. Anyway, I kept thinking about that and also like it's such a, I was thinking about that story, but I was also thinking there's got to be like 50 others that I read that are sort of like along this same vein of, you know, the prisoner waiting. We'll be right back.
them in the Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden?
Excellent! Execute them. Bogus.
You know, let's talk about Steve Earle.
Time for the podcast where we dig into the old death penalty. A nice, happy, fun subject.
Hey, man, I didn't bring it up. Jimmy brought the gallows in.
I apologize to all the listeners for bumming you out.
No. Not, listen, Iron Maiden does not bum me out. But hallowed be thy name, while it gives you all the happy, sunny feelings about skateboarding, certainly makes me think of the death penalty. So I was thinking about songs that I know that deal with that theme, and it made me think of Steve Earle, because he's a national treasure. Do you have any familiarity with Steve Earle?
None.
At all? Okay.
I just know some, like a few songs of the early stuff, like Guitar Town and Copperhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of that. Like, I know he's like the guitar country guy.
Yeah. Outlaw country guy.
He was more of the rock guitar-y vein. What I know.
That's fair. He is a very politically outspoken country artist that gets him in a lot of trouble. He's lived an incredibly colorful life. We'll leave it at that. He's gotten himself in a lot of trouble plenty of times, but incredible songwriter, incredible guitar player, which you really hear that come out in this song. But the song that I picked is called Ellis Unit 1.
I was fresh out of the service, it was back in 82. And I raised some cane when I come back to town.
And it's off the Dead Man Walking soundtrack. So that movie from the 90s with Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon, which is a movie about the death penalty, essentially. So Steve Earle wrote this song for that soundtrack specifically. And the cool little twist on this one is that the lyrics are written from the perspective of the prison guard, not the prisoner. And so it's sort of a walk through the lyrics, kind of take you on the journey of the guard and the effect that job plays on his psyche and how heavy of a burden it is for him from that perspective as well. Super cool. I mean, cool's relative, but it's a very interesting and poignant way of looking at the issue.
Yeah, it was a beautiful song. Absolutely beautiful song. It bummed me out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the type of song that I would hear once and go, really good, but I don't know if I want to play it again.
I don't want to skateboard
this.
It's
depressing. And then I was like, I probably should listen to this for like another 10, at least 10 times. Yeah. I was like, oh man, it's a low day.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is heavy. Francis, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's same thing. Like, it's not one I'm going to put on and jam to all the time. Like, but I thoroughly I get it. I would say my favorite part, just as a guitar player, is the opening, like the first like few seconds of the opening on the guitar.
Yeah.
He hits these haunting notes. Yeah, that part right there where it just comes in like those few haunting notes, and he doesn't do it again the whole song. It's only at the very beginning. That's my favorite part. It's just that little shift in the notes right there.
Yeah.
It's just haunting is all I can
say. Yeah, he's a hell of a guitar player.
And then, the lyrics, really cool, like, aspect of let's go with the guard's view. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole, like, you know, I went out, did my time in the service, came back, got married, had to take this job that, you know, my dad and my uncles did, and you think it's going to be like, yeah, I can do this job, and then he gets transferred.
Right.
That's when it starts playing the toll on his soul, so...
So I hired on at the prison, guess I always knew I would. Just like my dad and both my uncles done. And I've worked on every cell block now, and things are going good. But then they transferred me to LS Unit 1.
the thing that made it pair nicely for me with Hallowed Be Thy Name is that, like I was saying about Hallowed Be Thy Name, like the way that it really is truly an epic, like in terms of like poetic devices. This song is right in line with that, like very similar. It's a long narrative. It's a, like one long story that you follow from verse one to the end. There's no chorus breaking it up. Again, it's got like these ideas of good versus evil, of social commentary, of courage and struggle. And then there's also the same with Hallowed Be Thy Name. Like we didn't even talk about it, but the, like the spiritual aspect of Hallowed Be Thy Name, like it gets incorporated here in Ellis Unit 1 too, with the whole swing low refrain at the end. Same way that the Hallowed Be Thy Name comes in at the very end of Hallowed Be Thy Name, that becomes a refrain over and over and over again. It's almost like a plea on behalf of the prisoner. So is this device works exactly the same way in this song with Swing Low, except that it's from the guard's perspective. It's almost the same plea. It's the same like longing for deliverance from this shitty situation that like you feel that each of them feel trapped in and can't get out of.
Yeah, it's like very visual. Yeah. Like the whole part where he's talking about like I've brought them when they're dragging on their knees and kicking and screaming and all that. You get that visual.
Well, I've seen them fight like lions, boys. I've seen them go like lambs, and I've helped to drag them when they could not stand.
I always think of this song, like the first couple of verses, I think of like Tommy Lee Jones's character in No Country for Old Men, like the old like Texan, you know, police officer who is just matter of fact, like this is just how it is. Like it's, there's almost no emotion in the first couple of verses. He's just telling you the story of how he got to where
time to make the donuts.
But right. There is this very workman, blue collar. Like this is just what it was. And then you get that turn where, and then he gets transferred to the death penalty unit. And then that final verse where like he's explaining the nightmares that have come upon him that he suffers from.
Last night I dreamed and I woke up with straps across my chest. And something cold and black pumped through my lungs. And even Jesus couldn't save me, though I know he did his best. But he don't live on Ellis Unit 1.
Like, that's when you really get that sense of the weight.
And the whole fact that they transferred to the lethal injection was to get away, like he says, away from the smoking gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being the guy that flips the switch on the chair.
Right.
And it's like he's still having basically the same problem.
Yeah.
As what they were trying to get away from.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then
it might be neater.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, the whole stanza verse when he's talking about how when they used to electrocute people, college kids would come down and it, like he describes it like it's
with their beers and
it's a tailgating scene and the cheer went up from the crowd when the lights would flicker. And
well, my daddy used to talk about them long nights at the walls and how they used to strap them in the chair. Kids down from the college and they'd bring their beer and all. And when the lights went out, the cheer rose in the air.
Man,
what college town are we thinking right. that this was based on.
Oh, that's
I'm say it's Alabama.
Well,
it's Texas.
This is Texas. Oh, so
this is.
I don't know. I don't even want to.
Texas A&M.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's those Aggies. Maybe some Houston Cougars. Who knows?
It wasn't UT.
It wasn't Longhorns.
No.
It was a 12th man out there.
But yeah, I mean, you picked a bummer of a song and I was like, well, let's double down on that and just make this super fun for everybody.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I rewatched Dead Man Walking.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wanted to, and I didn't get to it.
I did it.
That's a real,
I hadn't seen it since probably like late '90s, and I rewatched it, and it's everything is related. Let me say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it hold up?
Oh, yeah, actually it does. It does. See a bunch of people in there. I was like, oh, look, it's Arlo from Justified, and it's Herschel from Walking Dead's in it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in it. I was like, Jack Black's in it. I'm like, look at that.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, mentioned twice.
Mentioned twice.
So, yeah, Ellis Unit 1, that's my pick. Francis?
Oh, really quickly, Jeff.
Yeah.
With the whole electric chair versus the lethal injection.
Uh-huh.
And you being a drummer, how are the drums on this song?
Perfect.
Okay.
They're perfect. Yeah. Keep us drummers out of it. This is what I would say.
I thought you were going to go a different route.
With what?
I thought you were going to go more Riding the Lightning or something.
Yeah,
and with the electric chair.
But first thing that came to mind.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
100%. But I wanted to get away from the metal. But also, if we're being completely honest, I really was just trying to shoehorn in Steve Earle to a conversation so I could tell the whole world that I once took Steve Earle to the Gap to buy his stage clothes when he played here in West Palm Beach in like 2005.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Nothing says outlaw country like the Gap.
America, saving money is in fashion.
When you fall into the Gap.
Yellow tag it, America, and save 15 to 30% on thousands of store-wide values, like Gap fashion denim jeans and guys and men's fits for only $15.95. Top it off with terrific styles and colors and guys' velours at 20% off. Guys' cord Levi's just $13.95 from the world's largest seller of Levi's jeans.
Fall into the Gap.
Fall into Yellow Tags, the sign of good-looking savings.
Can I tell you, it was one of the best days of my life. So I was working for this production company, and I was a runner for the show. So he comes into town, and I'm setting up his backstage and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And he comes in, he's like, hey, is there a Gap around here? I was like,
I was like,
there's one not too far. He's like, you mind taking me over there? And I was like, I would love that more than anything in the world, sir. So we jumped in my van. I took Steve Earle down to the Gap, and we bought him some jeans and some black t-shirts, and then drove around and talked about music for a while. It was pretty fantastic. He told me about playing in Cambodia.
Oh, wow.
And I will never forget that. Because I was like, this guy's heavy, man.
That's
amazing.
I mean,
you get that sense immediately from him anyway. Like, there's a gravitas to Steve Earle that is inescapable and immediately recognizable. But he was super fun to spend a day with.
Nice.
And then his band killed it that night.
Oh, I'm sure.
Steve Earle and the Dukes.
Yeah. Nice.
Very cool. Anyway, thank you all for letting me shoehorn that in. Because,
of course.
Yeah, I never get tired of telling it.
But he don't live on Ellis Unit 1. Swing low, swing low. Swing low and carry me home. Swing low, down. Swing low and carry me.
I had it down to two songs. I threw them in envelopes, shuffled them around, wrote one and two. And I was like, Jeff, pick one.
Yeah.
And he chose number two, which ended up being this one. Because the other one was, of course, Ride the Lightning.
So. Was it? No! Yeah.
Hey, that's on you. You didn't pick it. So.
That's on me. That's on me.
I was like, if he picks it, then I go straight for Ozzy. If not, that's a 50-50 shot.
Well, okay.
So.
Ozzy.
Ozzy. So Ozzy. I went with Ozzy Osbourne's Holy for Tonight. Which you're thinking, oh, you chose Ozzy. Why'd you go with this song?
It's the first thing I thought.
For all the Ozzy songs. And one part was the theme.
Sure.
This is his...
last night.
Yeah, his last goodbye, his last night. And just the gravitas of that coming in. And then the other one is like, there's also that story of the Ozzy and Iron Maiden little tiff that they had in 2005 on the Ozfest tour.
Oh, that's true.
Where it was Bruce Dickinson was saying unkind things about Ozzy throughout the tour, and then on the last day they're on the tour, Sharon Osbourne like gets people to throw eggs at them and shut off their sound. So you know,
nothing
wrongs on both sides.
Nothing
I guess
petty about that.
Nothing no, petty no, about no, that.
No,
but
we're all adults here.
Yeah, we're all. But I love me some Ozzy, so I want to talk some Ozzy.
Yeah, this is a super interesting pick, man. So go.
Yeah, this is from the album Ordinary Man, which came out in 2020, which I don't know, a lot of old Ozzy heads probably didn't bother to listen to.
Nope, I didn't. This is my first time.
Yeah, it came out February 21st, 2020. And if you remember those days, you were probably locked up in your house doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because it came out and because, yeah, everything was on lockdown. So I was listening to this album and I really got into it, except for the last two tracks. But album as a whole, very cool. We'll get into Andrew Watt, who produced it.
Mm-hmm.
Did a fantastic job also playing the guitars. But Holy for Tonight, it's about, you know, here's this guy. He's on his last night. He knows he's gone tomorrow and he's done some awful things in his life. But he's going to be holy for tonight so that he could be absolved.
Mm-hmm.
The first impressions that I got the whole time listening, I'm like, oh, this is Ozzy saying his goodbye.
Which he's been doing for 25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We've seen him on his retirement tours like, I don't know how many times.
So many.
But like, it just translates very well into this song and the whole like the ethos of Ozzy. Of like the whole, I've done some wrong things. Like the... You know, like how he's perceived.
Yeah.
Oh, you may have heard some bad things. And I thought for so long, listening to it for like about a year, I'm like, oh, this is Ozzy's like saying goodbye type thing. And then in the interview is like, oh, no, it's about, you know, some guy in a death penalty. I'm like, damn it, I wish I wouldn't have heard that.
But it's not. It's about Ozzy. Like we all know
it
that.
It fits the Ozzy mythos.
Yeah. And it's a funny thing about like it's so Ozzy to me. And the funny thing about that is that people, especially if they're not like Ozzy Osbourne fans, think of Ozzy as like this Satan worshiping, like
bat head ripping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did bite the head off of that. That's fine.
Yeah,
but,
it's fine.
But you think of him as like this devil worshiping dude. And like when you dig into Ozzy's lyrics, especially this one, but going all the way back to Black Sabbath days, like there's so many of them that literally are calling out to God. Right. And especially if you go back to like After Forever from Sabbath, you know, could it be you're afraid of what your friends might say if they knew you believed in God above? He was right there all along trying to dispel that whole idea. And this song too is just this calling out to God and wanting salvation, but knowing he's been a bad boy.
Yeah,
he has.
It threw me back because like I said, I watched Dead Man Walking.
Yeah.
And after watching that, I like really related to this also because in that movie, Sean Penn's character, up until the night before, Susan Sarandon plays the nun, you know, trying to get him, you know, admit your guilt so that you can, you know, die and be forgiven and all this stuff. And even on his last night, he's like, well, I just say the prayers and I'm good, right?
He's still
trying and lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's here's the time. Like,
yeah,
here's the final walk down. And that's when it hits him and he starts, which is like how this song is, you know, I'm going to be holy for tonight. So that clean slate tomorrow when I go up there, boys, you know,
good luck.
I had not heard this song before.
Mm-hmm.
I had not heard this album before. I grew up loving Ozzy. This song rules. This was a very cool song. The arrangement of this song was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know who put it together. I don't know if it, I can't imagine Ozzy did
Andrew
it.
Watt.
Probably. Andrew Watt. Yeah. And let me tell you about this Andrew Watt guy.
I mean, this is a guy, we could spend a whole podcast on this.
Seriously, like.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Podcast number two. Tune back in.
Wattfest.
Wattfest. Basically, he starts off, you know, he's like a rock and roll guy, guitar player, playing like what, like little rock shows in New York or whatever. And he gets called up like, hey, you want to play guitar for this guy? He's opening up for Justin Bieber in Australia. He's like, ah, I'm a rock guy. I don't want to be a pop guy. It's $1,500 a day. All right, I'm there. So he goes out there, sound checking one of the days. He's like, as much as the guys would let them in the stadiums, he'd like play as long as he could out there. And for the story is, he's playing like Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Mm. And suddenly like someone hops on the drums. He turns around, it's Justin Bieber, and they just jam for 45 minutes, which I'm not a believer, but.
Was it a 45 minute U2 jam session?
Who knows? Who knows?
Hopefully not.
I hope not. But then he's like, they get, but like this guy's in, from what I can see, he's like a networking genius.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So he buddies up with Bieber. He gets to like do like produce and play on like some bonus tracks of his.
Mm.
And he's still doing like his rock thing. He gets signed like under Watt. Mm-hmm. And I was reading the story where they were traveling to go open up for the Struts in Vegas.
Love the Struts. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's traveling. They're opening him up. Van breaks. I'm sure you can relate to this story.
What?
The van
Vans
breaks.
Break?
Band is like sitting on each other's laps in the tow truck, getting to the gig, get there on time to get just boot, to get booed and heckled by the Struts fans as they opened. And then at that point, he's like, maybe I should give this pop producing thing a try. So he starts doing like songs like some Post Malone stuff, a song here or there, and then he ends up doing like a whole Post Malone collab with Lewis Bell, who also collabs, does some on production on this album, this Ozzy album, but they do like Post Malone. Mind you, he's also like, I think Chad Smith and Duff McKagan are his boys.
Yeah.
Because they end up playing on like almost all the stuff that he's been doing.
Yeah.
I saw Duff on the notes and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Duff and Chad Smith on this, baby.
Yeah.
So then he does like stuff with Selena Gomez, Cardi B, Lana Del Rey, Chainsmokers, Blink 182. And then he gets this Ozzy album.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it goes to almost like a whole Miley Cyrus album. Dua Lipa, whatever her name is, Dua Lipa?
R.I.P.
Lipa.
Yeah, whatever. Bieber.
R.I.P.
Elton John.
R.I.P.
He gets the next Ozzy album. He does the newest Iggy Pop album.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does the latest Rolling Stones album.
He did the new Rolling Stones record.
New Rolling Stones record.
Which is awesome. Like, seriously, if you haven't listened to the new Rolling Stones record,
Hackney Diamonds.
Go listen to it. It's amazing. He killed it.
And then he's also playing guitar and did Eddie Vedder's solo album, which leads to what's coming out as a new Pearl Jam album that he did.
That's right.
So he goes from, if you look at the timeline, it's all organic and you just see like, oh.
Like everybody he meets wants to work with
him. Yeah, everyone he meets, it just spirals and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to work with him. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a good time. And
that Eddie Vedder record is phenomenal as well. And the new Pearl Jam sounds killer. They only released one song so far as of this taping, but man, I'm excited for it. The Eddie Vedder band, he plays guitar in his touring band with Chad Smith on drums.
Wow.
And Josh Klinghoffer.
Yeah.
And Chad Chaney, the bass player is now the touring bass player in AC/DC they just announced. So I mean, this dude, I can just see it.
He'll probably do the next AC/DC album for all we know.
Right.
He'll just keep going.
So yeah, quite an impressive.
When I saw that
resume,
because I hadn't looked back into him until I was like, oh, who did when this Ordinary came out? I was like, who's this Andrew Waka? I'm like, well, his guitar chops are good. He's nailing these solos. And I'm like, oh, and he produced it too. Came out really good, and it's like,
okay, but like, you miss Zach on this song, right? I mean, I do. When the guitar tone on when the solo comes in, that's the only part that troubles me on this song.
It's for a solo, for an Aussie solo, it's a good Aussie solo. It's not the Zach tone,
it gets there, but
it's not the Zach tone. But then again, it's like, I think Zach is on some other songs on this album. You have Slash on some other doing solos on this album. So
I know.
I'm fine with this guitar solo.
It's my only knock on like later Ozzy is that you just end up with this mishmash of people on,
because he doesn't have the guitar player. Because the last one was Zach.
It's like it's a different lineup on every song, other than like bass and drums have been pretty solid. But
yeah.
I don't know. That's the only.
I mean,
thing.
I get it.
The song's great.
Because I mean, he went from Randy Rhoads. Jakey Lee.
Yeah.
Zach Wild.
Who did the guitar on that Miss Piggy joint? Remember that one?
I don't know.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. Just me. Okay. Sorry. Ozzy and Miss Piggy. Let's look that up.
All right.
We'll pipe that in now.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Piggy, welcome.
Ozzy Osbourne? Boy, did I open the wrong door. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, Miss Piggy, you're not bothering me at all. Stick around. We're going to run!
Ozzy, chill.
Just stick around, babe. We're gonna rock the place down. Come on.
Oh, you're going to sing to me?
Yeah, me and you. All right, an opportunity I've been waiting for all my life.
And the frog can wait.
Come on, babe, get in here. We were born, born to be wild.
Yes, yes.
We can climb.
Fantastic. But yeah, I get what you're saying about the solo.
It's okay. It's a very small nitpick. The song's cool. I mean, it's Ozzy doing what Ozzy loves to do, which is try to be the Beatles. Like, this song is very, very, especially it's like John Lennon-y, which is, you know, that's Ozzy loves to do that stuff. So it's cool. I love the groove on it.
Right at the beginning with that Duff's comes in with that bass line.
Yeah.
Like right there, I'm like, oh, here we go.
How are you going to argue with Duff?
Yeah.
You can't. Duff's the best.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love how it starts off just, you know, it's very, just the drum, bass, and the vocals. And it's, you know, it's got that whole bleak, dire situation, like feeling to it. And just the buildup on this with the pedal steel sound, which is probably a keyboard, but it's got that whole cool, like, pedal steel slide guitar. Just gets that whole eerie sound to it. Strings coming in, the choirs in the background, just how it builds and builds and builds. Song, I think it's just arranged beautifully.
It is. Strings are great.
The strings are great. The choir in the background, especially like at the end with the choir saying Lonely Night.
Yeah.
The outro. Oh. Build up, love it.
Yeah, Ozzy does ballads well. He always has.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. This is my favorite Ozzy album since No More Tears.
Wow, okay.
Nice.
All right.
Well, you look at what was in between. That. Look at what was in between.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know very many of them, so.
Eh, well, there you go.
You're gonna, yeah. I tapped out at No More Tears, I'll be honest. I left the ship with Randy Castillo, unfortunately. Although I've seen him many, many times since I saw him through all those years with Mike Borden on drums. And
yeah, I think that's the only time I saw him was, I never saw him with Zakk Wylde.
No, really?
No, I was like, whoever was on like Osmosis is what I saw.
You didn't see him on Ozfest? What, yeah, when it was Ozzy and Black Sabbath. Zakk was on that.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. No. I saw it.
When Pantera? Like that first Ozfest?
No, I don't know. Mm. Maybe not that one.
No, I only went to the first Ozfest.
So you had to.
Oh, wow.
Come on. All right.
Well. Only went to the first Ozfest.
All right.
But I did see him with Typo and Rollins with it open. Sort of ties into one of the lines in the song where he's like, no one will remember me, something like that. I know I'm
someone that they won't remember. Yeah, that's a weird line.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but then like in my mind, because Rollins on the spoken word does a bit about how when he got called in to open up for Ozzy for a few dates, which is one of those shows, and how he's backstage and does the whole bit about, he sees Ozzy there and Ozzy's like, do you think anyone will show up? And he's like scared that no one's going to show up for him.
Oh, really?
And he's like, yeah, can't you hear them? They're all here. The earth is shaking because of all the sound of the crowd.
Ozzy.
And he's like,
so many jokes.
Like I just pictured that Ozzy of like,
yeah,
like, oh, I don't know if anyone's here going to show up. And then Sharon yelling at him. And then he goes out there and just goes into automatic Ozzy mode and,
you know,
and being oblivious to it.
Ozzy's 75 years old, right? Yeah. So, and that's old. And especially for a dude like Ozzy. And we can, and, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, he's just old. But he, also,
he's got some wear and tear.
Yeah, but fun fact, Alice Cooper is 76. Alice yeah. Cooper is 1 year older than him. And that dude, look at that. If you compare the two,
he's still out there
that's
doing it. Yeah.
That's the only anti-drug commercial you need. It's like, who do you want to be at 76, you know?
Got to start golfing
yeah.
early.
Got to do a lot of golf.
Well, yeah. Oh, man. Poor Ozzy. Is he still alive? Has anyone checked?
R.I.P.
As of
February
19th.
My son, every time an Ozzy song comes on the radio, my son's like, is he still alive? I'm like, yep. He's like, how? I'm like, I don't know, buddy. By the grace of God. By the grace of God.
That's amazing.
Soldier on, Ozzy. We're here for you.
Absolutely.
We love you. Fun song.
Fun times. Hope you enjoyed our Death Penalty podcast.
Fun times.
Jimmy, thanks for joining us, man. Thanks for bringing a great song.
Anytime. Yeah.
And inspiring a good conversation.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad that Death Row could inspire some fun conversation, you know, as it does typically.
We could have went Death Row Records.
Damn
it. Yeah.
I don't know when this is airing. We have events constantly. Who knows when? Yeah. So April, May, free comic book day is coming up. We do it every single weekend in May.
Okay.
So every Saturday in May, come down to Famous Faces and Funnies 2 in Boynton Beach. Get 5 free comics. We have stuff going on constantly. Check us out. Comic books, toys. You guys know those things, right? You like them?
Just a bit. Look around.
Go check him out.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
Cheers. I've been looking at your shirt all night, and I just now realized that's the Three Amigos.
Oh, I had a perfect one at Christmas time. My niece, she was like, oh, somebody was doing a bird call, something on TV. I was like, I can do a bird call. And everybody stopped and like, really? You can? And I was like, look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. The only person that laughed was my wife. Everybody else stared at us.
You guys, look up here.
Once again, thank you, Jimmy. Free Comic Book Day is coming up at the beginning of May, so swing by Famous Faces and Funnies 2 and give them a visit. They're located in Boynton Beach, South Florida, outside of the Boynton Beach Mall, across from the movie theater. I want to thank all of you listening. If you're a fan of past episodes, welcome back. If you're new to us and made it this far, we got others for you to go back and dive into. As with all of our episodes, we hope you learned something new and maybe get you to go down a rabbit hole of new music. We'll be back next month, so until then, be cool, stay safe, and leave a review. Thanks to Legends of Rodeo for the intro and outro music.